You're listening to the Simply Vegan podcast with me, Holly Johnson, editor of the UK's only vegan magazine, Vegan Food and Living. Before we get started, I have a quick favour to ask. We need your support to help our podcast keep running. So if you enjoy this episode, please leave us a review and share on your socials. The more that people listen, the more compassion we spread to the world. And if you'd like to try out our magazine for just 99p, head to veganfoodandliving.com/podcast. It's packed with delicious plant-based recipes and expert articles on nutrition, sustainable living and vegan ethics. In today's episode, I'm joined by Vegan Food and Living's art editor, Deborah Butler, and we're going to be talking about healthy habits. I feel like it's slightly ironic that we're focusing on health and fitness today, seeing as I felt like absolute rubbish all week.
Oh.
I've had a cold again. I never get colds. What's going on? No. Is it all this stupid rain and bleh?
I think it's the change in the seasons. I don't generally suffer from colds. The odd time I get a cold, very odd time, it's not too bad. But it's normally the change of the seasons, I think. And just having kids at school, bringing stuff back.
Oh, yeah. Ew.
I've never been one that sort of gets ill. But since Monty's been at school, I've been sniffing and coughing. And
yeah, my friends with little ones are just constantly like, you know, they've all got a sickness bug. They've all got a cold. It's horrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we were going to talk about like just what we do to kind of stay in good shape at 45 and 50. You go to the gym, don't you? Are you like a member of a gym?
I'm a member of the gym and I try and go 3 times a week and I only go for 20 minutes because that's, I think, 20 minutes hard and fast,
right,
and out, because I can't go and be sort of going from machine to machine and waiting around for the machines to be ready. And then I like, you know, quicken
and then hit it.
And I mainly do resistance training, which is the best thing for the, you know, perimenopause and being a woman over 40. Resistance training is the most important
100%
thing. And I do the odd 5K run. I mean, yesterday we were so busy at work, weren't we, Holly?
Yeah.
But I put my Keep Fit gear on. Keep Fit gear?
It's not 1982.
My Keep Fit gear, because I'm from the 80s. I put my workout gear on and I started working in the morning, and then it got to like 1 o'clock and I thought normally I'd like have a bit of a lunch break and go for a 20 minute run. I literally went downstairs, shouted at Simon, "I'm going out for a run!" And I did 10 minutes.
Oh,
10 minutes.
Bless you.
But it's the little wins. It's those little things that I'm overcoming my busy work schedule, but I'm still getting that 10 minute in there, which, I mean, most people don't really get. They don't really get outside.
No, that's really
outside
good.
In the fresh air.
Anything's better than nothing. Even just standing up regularly, like, kicks your metabolism into gear, doesn't it? So,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm rubbish in the gym. I need someone telling me what to do, because otherwise I start chatting and then I'm like, how on earth do I use this machine?
Yeah.
And I need a class.
I know exactly what you mean. I do some of the odd class here and there, and they do, you feel like you're working harder when you're in a class.
Yeah.
But especially if you're at the front, you feel like, oh, I gotta, you know, show that I can lift the weights, and
gotta impress.
You feel like you've got to be doing the squats right, and you're looking around the room, and if there's other people doing lower squats, you're like, right, I'm gonna challenge myself. It's all a bit like that. And it's actually really good doing a class, because you meet people and you're chatting to people, and it's almost like a little community of people, and it's really mentally good for you,
so
as well to be. I do try and do some classes when I've got the time, because they're about 45 minutes long and I don't normally have that amount of time. On a Monday and Friday, I try and do those if I can.
Yeah, on your days off.
But on my days off.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to be like really good friends with a personal trainer.
Is she vegan as well? Isn't
she? She's my vegan friend who I've talked about so much.
Is she on Instagram?
Yeah, Kath at Raw 4 Fitness. Yeah, she's on Instagram, and she's like developed this program now for for women of our age going through like perimenopause and menopause and stuff. So definitely check that out. But yeah, we do. So she's got a little gym, like her garage is converted into a gym. So we kind of go around there. There's a little group of us. And then this morning she did a boot camp class. There were loads of people there this morning. It was so nice to be back outside again after winter. And then we do a few runs a week, and she's currently training for, she's 50 actually in a couple of months. And she's,
is she?
Yeah, she's training for High Rocks. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
So it's kind of like, I think you'd love it, Debs. They do it, I think it's all over the world. I definitely know they do it in London and New York, because I've seen a friend do it on in London on Facebook, and Kath is doing the one in New York. How amazing would that be?
Oh, amazing.
But I said, oh, typical you, you know, like most people turn 50 and they sort of have a party or, I don't know, have a spa weekend. You're off to do some sort of like crazy challenge. It's mental. It's like in a massive like sort of arena, I suppose, or like, you know, it's like inside. It's just all these challenges. So you're kind of like, for example, one of them is 75 squats and throw the medicine ball.
Oh gosh.
75, and that's just one. And then you do and then you do a 1K run, and then it's like another one, another activity. She's been training for that. So we're all like, can we just like, she's basically, because she's training for it, we're all ending up having to train for it because we train with her. So we're like,
oh, this is getting brilliant, a bit, though.
I suppose so. Yeah. But we're like, oh, we don't want to do it. It's too hard.
Have you got sore thighs and bum from
that ball throwing thing? And if you don't hit it on the right spot, it's disqualified. So you have to do even more.
Oh,
can you imagine?
Oh. Oh my goodness. What's this called?
High Rocks. HYROX. Yeah.
Right.
But,
okay.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore. That's what she's doing. So, no, she's been absolutely amazing and keeps me in really good shape and on the straight and narrow most of the time. She's like super, super lean and healthy, doesn't eat. But she was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. So she kind of wasn't vegan, wasn't particularly healthy, standard Western diet, and then had all these problems. She couldn't even open the car door. Like, she was in so much pain. No. And I think she had young little ones at the time. So she was like, well, I have to sort this out. And the doctor was kind of like, oh, it's fibromyalgia, is not really anything you can do. And she was like, well, I'm not just going to accept that and spend my whole life not able to do anything. I mean, she was a dancer and a PT, so it was her career as well. And she's been on the podcast twice before and talked about her story a lot. But she basically set herself the challenge of sort of healing herself, and
I'm gonna go back and listen to this podcast because that's really interesting. I love all that sort of stuff.
She went raw vegan at first, so literally from like drinking alcohol, standard, you know, eating chicken and whatever, cheese, to raw vegan overnight, which is quite extreme. I think after a couple of years, she wasn't raw anymore. Have you ever done anything like that, the raw diet?
Yeah, but it didn't last 2 years. It lasted 2 weeks.
Right. Well, that's still pretty going.
That's not bad. I did cut out, alcohol for like 17 weeks once.
Wow, that's good. That's really good.
But yeah, I did do the raw thing, but it made me crave the other foods that I like, you know, buttery toast and stuff like that.
What were you eating then, like, on a raw, so it was raw vegan diet?
Yeah, it was all like, I did make vegetable soup. And I had like a lot of vegetables in my meals, and I'd use quinoa and is brown rice raw? Would you call that? That would be raw, wouldn't it?
I don't think it is it? Because you'd have to cook it.
Or maybe I wasn't that raw.
You were just super whole food, plant-based.
Super
healthy.
Whole, yeah.
I always feel so good when I'm eating like that. And then life gets in the way, and then everything just goes downhill. You just find me in the corner. Nibbling on some vegan cheese.
crying into the wrapper.
Oh, I know. If we were robots, I would be fine eating raw. But we're not. We have emotions and we have ups and downs and we are busy and we have, you know, go and see friends. We're social creatures. You know, food is an event, isn't it? So,
yeah,
we're not robots. So we all have our own tastes and preferences.
So true.
But yeah, I have tried the raw kind of eating before.
Yeah. It's tricky when you've got kids and stuff as well, isn't it? Because, you've got to cook for them.
So I watched something for the second time last night. I watched What the Health.
Oh, yeah.
So you've watched it, haven't you? Did you watch it?
Yeah, not for years ago.
Kip Anderson.
Yes.
I watched it a few years ago and I sort of, that's what made me go vegan in the first place back in 2020.
Right.
And then I sort of, over the years, I sort of forgot about it. And then I decided to watch it again because I thought I need a refresh. And it's absolutely mind-blowing. And my jaw was dropping watching it, like the effect of animal products on the health. And there was people on there who had diabetes and someone had a weak heart and someone couldn't walk and they were on all these drugs. And they were told to come off the drugs and eat a plant-based diet. And within weeks, they were outside walking without their walkers. And the change was absolutely mind-blowing.
It's crazy, isn't it?
So, I mean, that's a massive incentive, isn't it, to cut out all the meat and the eggs and the dairy. I can't believe how actually unhealthy they are for you.
Yeah.
Like, until you look at the statistics, you look at the studies, and then you think... I mean, everybody should watch it.
Yeah.
Everyone should watch that program.
Yeah, I need just to watch it again.
Health is the most important thing. Mental and physical health is the most important thing. Surely to goodness, that must be your most important thing ever. Because if you're healthy and you're mentally balanced, that's gonna rub off on other people. Mm. So you can only look after other people and help other people and be there to show up well for other people if you're feeling healthy and inside you're healthy and your mental health is pretty good. Mm. I mean, that's the bottom line in my opinion, and I think these statistics and studies that have shown that a plant-based diet is the best thing you can do.
And imagine,
it's a no-brainer.
Imagine if they prescribed that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, imagine how much the NHS would save. But you can't monetize, you know, fruit and veg in the same way you can pharmaceuticals, can you? So
yeah, it's all about money. Everything is about money. It's about financial gain. Mm. And you know, the meat and dairy industry are massive, you know, $1 billion or whatever it is, you know, huge industries. And you know, you can get right down to the nitty-gritty and talk about the government and talk about the media. And do you think they've got your well-being as a priority? Mm. Or do you think they want to make as much money as they can?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not going to go into that, but you have to do your own research. I've said it before. Do your own research. Have a look online. Because it is really such an eye-opener.
Yeah.
And, you know, these people they're healing themselves from a plant-based diet. And doctors they're not taught nutrition. That's the thing. They were saying that they get 2 hours every 4 years. Is it 2 hours every 4 years? They get told something like that every 4 years. They get a nutrition update.
It's something
and
ridiculous.
They just get told, like,
yeah,
this is the main thing. And they're giving people drugs.
I know. It's madness. And the thing is, it's changing all the time. So, like, when I spoke to Dr. Michael Greger back in January, on the podcast, you know, he was saying that, because he, you know, his book, have you seen his new book, How Not to Age?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so much research in there. And he was saying, you know, even someone like him who's studying this every day, day in, day out, he was still surprised by you know, all the research and new kind of studies coming out. So it's something that's constantly evolving. But doctors, GPs in general, obviously not, you know, including every single GP, especially the plant-based health professionals, shout out to you. You know, they're trying to really push for, you know, a change in how things are in the health service. But yeah, it's just shocking that they're not studying nutrition in much more detail and applying it. But it's just the way it is, isn't it? I guess we just have to keep calling for change.
It's about money. It's all about money. You know, that's that. If you look deep enough, that's unfortunately, money seems to be more important than people's health and well-being in this day and age. And hopefully that will hopefully it'll filter out. I mean, it's not going to stop overnight, but if we're going the right way, and that's the North Star, isn't it, is to have everybody really healthy and looking at their diet first. If that was, if we aim for that and we go in the right way, then I think, you know, we're all going to be living longer and healthier. I hate the fact that one in two people get cancer, you know, and people are suffering from dementia. And I just think, oh God, if you just knew, if the doctors were just taught, or they did it for themselves and they sort of did their own research, it would be, the world would be a better place.
I know.
I think.
What do you think about the ban on cigarettes for people? So anyone born after 2009?
Oh,
aren't allowed to
what
buy
was that?
Them. So I think it went through Parliament yesterday.
2000.
Yeah. So if you're born after 2009, you can't. You won't ever be able to buy cigarettes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's it was quite a surprise to me. But I think, you know, we can't say anything, but it's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was. It made me think. Because I've seen a few things on Facebook as well lately, like, you know, like the reels that are on there, and it's like clips from the BBC archive. And I saw one that was the journalist interviewing people in like 1960 when they bought seatbelts in. And everyone was kind of saying, well, I'm not going to wear a seatbelt. Why should I? You know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, you'll be breaking the law. And then the other one was drinking. So he was in a pub and he was saying, you're going to drive home tonight. You've been drinking at the bar. They all speak very posh in sort of BBC news.
Yes, they do. They're
in the past.
They speak the King's English, don't they?
They do. We don't
in
anymore.
Bar.
But
no.
Yeah, they're all going, well, I'm going to drive home. It's I think it's ridiculous, this new law. And I was thinking, look at the resistance, you know, to these things that we now accept. Who would have thought, I don't know when the smoking ban was brought in, but I certainly remember in my 20s sitting in a pub, not even an old man's pub, you know, it was just like one of the lounge bars, like your sort of, you know, cafe bar type thing. We were all smoking, and there was a woman there with a baby. And I remember thinking, well, you shouldn't bring your baby in here. And now it's, you can't imagine smoking inside.
That is what makes me think, you know, that's such a great thing. And you look back at these old BBC archives, it comes up on my Facebook people are so, I mean, but you get it with racism as well. You get it with everything and sexism. And then you think, look how far we've come. This is the 1960s. And they were talking about cigarettes and stuff and not wearing seatbelts.
Yeah.
I mean, I know for a fact that my mum and a lot of her friends, like my dad and all of his friends, they used to drink and drive. But it would be, you know, that would be absolutely fine. Mind you, there were a lot less cars around then. But even so, I mean, they used to pull him out of a ditch now and again, you know. So... the car would go into a ditch and they go, come on, let's wipe you out.
That's crazy. But it's
crazy.
You know,
and seatbelts and all of that.
But just thinking about it this week kind of gave me a little bit of hope, because I thought maybe, just maybe, if we keep pushing and keep campaigning and keep shouting and making as much noise as possible and sharing all the evidence, maybe, just maybe, one day, even if it's in 20 years, which I hope it's not, you know, meat will, it's probably not going to be banned, is it? But should it come with a health warning? Should it come with information about where the animal was killed, and you know, and the carbon footprint of it and all of this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping that's going to happen a lot sooner.
But it's going to happen.
But, you know, things it is like gonna happen. Sausages and bacon, you know, should they be banned if they're carcinogenic in the same class as smoking?
Yeah.
But imagine saying to the population, no more bacon, that's it. I mean...
Well, they'll have to have a really good plant-based fake bacon. There's plenty out there. I'm eating... this isn't bacon. Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah.
I had a chicken and bacon Caesar salad the other day, and the Caesar dressing was absolutely incredible. Oh, Simon made it from scratch.
Delicious.
And I just ate it and I just thought that tastes better than the real thing.
Yeah.
It tastes... I just want people to eat this food. I don't care if it's overprocessed. Yeah. Let's save the animals.
Yeah.
And it's just like, ugh.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the time it is less bad for you than the meat processed food.
Well, yeah. I mean, meat and dairy and it's made me, it's really like made me think I don't even want Monty to have any milk now. I'm sort of thinking,
really? Oh my God, you've really done such a turnaround. Because you, like you said,
really want him to get off. I want to teach. He's six. He's nearly seven, and I would love to be able to sit him down and really talk to him in detail about what happened. But I can't do that yet. But I really want him to start drinking like oat milk or soya milk or have meat alternatives and have beans. And it's not something that he would eat at the moment, but I'm really am gonna encourage.
Could you start sneaking it in? Because I managed to get my son, like, we don't buy dairy milk anymore.
No.
We only buy soya and oat milk, and he doesn't even, I mean, he only really has it on his cereal, which is flavored anyway. You know, chocolate hoops or whatever. You can't really, you're not really tasting the milk so much. Does Monty like drink like milk in a glass? Yeah,
he drinks milk,
so he'd probably notice it, the difference, wouldn't he?
I've tried oat milk on him, and I tried the oat barista because it's creamier, and I thought, and it's actually not sour, it's quite sweet.
Yeah.
And I don't like this, mummy, this milk tastes weird. No. Don't like it. I didn't tell him.
Yeah.
But I think also because he's programmed to drink full fat cow's milk, and that's all he's had for the last 6 years, 5 years, I think eventually he will not like it. Like, I love oat milk now and I can't drink dairy milk. It's horrible. So I think the more you drink it, the less you have of the other thing. I think you end up not liking it anyway.
Just start sneaking it into stuff, I reckon.
Yeah.
And maybe try, like, you know, maybe some chopped up vegan chicken in something.
Yeah. Slowly. He's had vegan burgers. He quite likes vegan burgers.
Right.
I just say it's a beef burger.
Yeah. You can't tell the difference with them anymore.
But
I
really, really want him to. I'm quite strong about it and I feel quite adamant, but doing it in a certain way that's not like, I don't know. But these health warnings, and you talk about health warnings on, you know, cigarette packets used to have, remember when they brought out the health warnings on that? They need stickers on meat.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it's plain fact. They need to put these health warnings on meat.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's the what was it they said? The breast cancer, if you have dairy, you're 49% more likely to develop breast cancer. 49%.
What?
From having dairy.
Where's that statistic? From What the Health?
What the Health.
Whoa. I mean, that is insane. That's like, you're doubling your chance. Is that right? You're doubling your chance of getting breast cancer? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're...
You're increasing it by 50%.
Now you're making me double think. I remember these statistics. Kip Anderson was going through these statistics and he was on the internet and he was looking at all the things and he was doing, there's been so many studies about it and these meat and dairy and eggs. Eggs are really bad for you. Like, I was like shocked.
Eggs are a funny one, aren't they?
I thought eggs were like semi-healthy. It's like, you're not killing the animal, but you know, I don't know. And most vegetarians not going to say most vegetarians, a lot of people would say, oh, I can give up meat, but I can't give up eggs and cheese.
Yeah.
Or yeah. What do you do for an omelette? Or what about poached eggs?
Yeah.
But you sort of, it's fatty.
Well, I couldn't
eat. It's full of hormones and stuff they've pumped into it.
Well, first of all, I mean, like you say, you know, the animal's not dying, but then the male chicks do get ground up alive, literally, when they've just hatched. So there's still death involved. And then my friend Kath again called eggs chicken periods. And yeah. Ever since then, I'm just like, nope. Really? Never.
Yeah, that's true.
Would, yeah.
Just horrible. And honestly, the drugs that are fed to these animals and all these things get into their bloodstream and they get into their meat and then it's sold and they've done studies on the meat and it's got all these things in them that are really bad for you.
Yeah, what was it recently?
Like, I didn't even think about that side of it. Yeah. I just thought, okay, animals being killed, that's really bad. Live male chicks being ground up alive. I mean, come on, that's barbaric.
I know. But it's...
what century are we living in?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel so passionate and angry about it. I just want
to. You want to go on a podcast and tell the world.
Yeah, you know when you go somewhere and your friend's eating steak or chicken, and you look at them and you think,
yeah,
but it's like that thing you say, it's a secret that you know, but you can't tell anybody.
Yeah, I know.
I want to go, do you know where that's come from? And they'll look at my tofu and go, ugh.
Yeah, what on earth is that? Processed, bland rubbish.
Oh, God, how can you eat that? And the conditions that animals are kept in, that's just another layer.
Yeah.
It's just horrendous. So,
so many different
You know, killing animals aside, everything else on top of that is wrong and barbaric, and I can't believe we're doing it. And then, yeah, it's like it's a money making industry, isn't it? And
yeah.
I just want everyone to be healthy and live in a. We've got a wonderful world. Why don't we treat it with more respect?
I know. It's like you say, a lot of it is down to money. I've got my girls' weekend this weekend, which has come at such a bad. I know, but it's come at such a bad time because, like, we're on we're on deadline next week with the magazine, aren't we? So we're super busy, and I haven't really felt well. I haven't been great this week. I haven't been feeling well. Hurt my neck, and I'm just like, you know what? I just need like a rest.
Oh.
Not a wild one, but I am looking forward to it.
Is the weekend away a wild one then? It's not a spa, is it? Or is it like...
There is a hot tub at the house, but...
I'm quite jealous.
They're my school friends and they're quite wild. And they are big meat eaters, so it will be meat fest. I was thinking the other day, actually, I need to stop talking about people on the podcast because one day it's going to... One day, my friends and family are actually going to bother to listen to it and be like, I can't believe you said that about me.
Yeah.
I'll be like, oh, that was years ago. Sorry, I didn't mean
it. Yeah. But... It's difficult. It's so difficult, isn't it? Because I don't want to slag my friends and family off.
No.
But I kind of want to, like,
yeah.
I don't know, I'm talking to all the meat eaters, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you feel like you're in a safe space here, don't you? Talking to, you know, other vegans, and then you kind of think, ooh, should I have said that?
I know. But the thing is, this podcast is brilliant because people can listen to it and it just makes you feel like you're included and we're here for you. It's a safe space. And if anyone wants to get in touch with us and talk about anything they want to, it's, you know, we want to include everybody.
Yeah.
And you're not alone. You're not alone because luckily my husband's vegan, but if he wasn't, I think I'd feel really alone. And I think I'd be reaching out to, you know, other groups of vegans online or joining certain clubs or whatever, I think, because it can be quite a lonely place if people don't understand where you're coming from. And, especially when you've got friends and family that you really respect and you think that they've got great opinions and you love them to bits, but they're not on the same page as you. Like you say, they haven't joined the dots up or they don't want to know about it because it might upset them. And then, you know, generations have been doing this for, you know, years and years and years. Your granddad and grandmother and your great-grandmother and great-granddad, and they've all been eating meat for as long as, you know, years and years and years, centuries. And it, you sort of think, well, who's going to step back and have a look at the big picture and, you know, find out all this information? And I find it fascinating. I find it absolutely fascinating. But you do have to sort of stand back a little bit sometimes and take a deep breath and sort of think, well, I'm not going to be involved in that anymore.
Yeah.
So,
well done.
Yeah. Talking about like mental health and things you can do to feel better. I mean, this isn't necessarily vegan, a vegan comment, but with me, I think that sometimes it really helps to have some sort of routine in the morning where, I mean, I get out, when my alarm goes off, I get straight out of bed immediately and I go outside in the garden with my pyjamas on and I look around myself and I look at the trees and the sky, take a deep breath. I sort of do a little stretch up. I take a glass of water out. This is before I even look at my phone. I don't have a coffee. I don't do anything. I go out in my bare feet in my pyjamas. The neighbours must be thinking I'm a bit of a weirdo. I love it. I love going outside first thing in the morning. Get the sunshine into your eyes. Take some water out. Deep breath. And then sometimes I go into the kitchen and put my favourite song on Spotify.
Oh, you're like, so good.
It takes 10 minutes. It's a 10-minute thing and it just sets you up for the day. Everyone's asleep. The sun's up. I'm going out. And I think also I think that's really healthy for people who, whether, you know, regardless of whether you eat meat or not, I think if you start looking at your surroundings and you start looking at the sky and smelling the flowers and having a look around at all the lovely things we've got in this world, I think sometimes that makes you connect the dots up.
Very true.
I see the birds in the trees and they're tweetering away and I sort of, it connects you to nature. And then I think it's something sort of tells you that you should be saving this world and helping it be a better world.
Yeah.
Getting rid of all this, you know, terrible torture.
Yeah.
That's happening. It sort of, it brings you closer to nature, I think. And you sort of feel like you want to do something.
Yeah, it's very true. I've been trying to do that this week, actually. Because you wake up, you look at your phone to check the time. And you might have had like 50 notifications from the night before. So then you suddenly start looking at them. And before you know it, you've spent half an hour on your phone. But I watched something the other day. I have to tell you about this. It's called Limitless. It's a series on Disney by National Geographic. And it's got Chris Hemsworth in.
Yes.
And it is brilliant. I haven't watched like the whole series or anything because I don't have Disney. But I might just sort of sign up for a month so I can watch it all. But I saw the last episode and it was just, you'll absolutely love it because it's, I think the whole series is all about sort of like healthy aging and, you know.
That's right up my street.
Yeah, so I
love really, stuff like that.
Really sort of changes how you feel about things.
I'm writing it down.
Okay. Yeah, the last episode.
Because I'll forget.
The last episode, they basically age him. So he wears this suit that kind of imitates what it feels like to be like 80 years old. So he's restricted in movement, his vision's restricted, his hearing. And I won't say any more because I don't want to ruin it. But yeah, if you've got Disney, then go and watch it. You can watch like the trailers online. But yeah.
That sounds brilliant.
I know, yeah.
I'm going to watch that.
Trying to be a bit more mindful and just appreciate the little things when you've got stresses going on, I think. And just remember that, yeah, we're all aging every day and just appreciate every day that you have.
Yeah. But we're aging better.
Yeah,
we're aging better. We're like, fine wine, you and me, Holly.
I hope so.
We're not aging. We're just getting better, more experienced,
maturing.
We're going to mature into graceful old beauties.
Oh, I see. I was just thinking about cheese with aging. I saw you got the Honestly Tasty Brie at last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it from M&S. I've been looking for it for ages. I went to Holland & Barrett again to get theirs and it was sold out.
Oh,
and I was like,
no.
Oh, damn it. And then I went down to M&S and I found it. And then I got a bit sort of distracted. You know, when you go to M&S because it's all lovely laid out.
Yeah.
And I got distracted. I was looking for something else and I was looking at the plant aisle and all this. And then I looked at my watch and I thought, oh God, my train's going to, I'm going to miss my train. Ran to the train station. I got on the platform at 3:29 for my 3:30 train and the bloke waved his bit of wood. And I said, I'm here on time. And he went, sorry, love, you'll have to get the next one.
Oh, no.
I was there 1 minute before the train went. Got off the train, started raining. I didn't have a raincoat, didn't have an umbrella, didn't have a hood. And I walked to the bus stop, which is about a good 10-minute walk. I was drenched like that. And then luckily I've got a free bus pass because that's a good thing to tell people who are trying to not take their car out as well. You get a free bus pass in the month of your birthday if you apply for it online.
No way!
So I try and get the bus as much as possible and avoid my car.
I walk
everywhere anyway. So yeah, if you apply online, you can get a free bus pass for the entire month of your birthday.
So I thought,
I'm getting home. Yeah, whole of the UK.
Oh, right. Brilliant.
So I got a bus back and I sat at the back of the bus with these two old ladies and we had a lovely chat.
Oh.
Anyway, that's me again doing my, oh, hello.
Yeah. Did all of that happen because of the brie?
Yeah. I blame the brie.
Was it worth it? Have you eaten it yet?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It went within 2 days.
Oh, lovely.
Had it on crackers, had it in the Caesar salad. Yeah, I go into the fridge and chopping bits off.
Yeah, yummy.
It's like, you know, the cheese has got all this addictive, like dairy cheese has got addictive stuff in it. And I get the same feeling from eating the brie.
Do you?
I really do. And it's not got any of the nasties.
No.
So what, weigh it up. Yeah. I mean.
I know. The girls are all doing a raclette on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, I think it's kind of like fondue and then you have all the meats and other things sort of grilled around it. I can't remember. They did it last year. So I'm kind of like, oh, what should I do as a vegan alternative? Do I go and spend a fortune on on cheese or I don't know. I don't know if I can be bothered.
I would, to be honest, Holly, I'd probably just get something that would be cheaper and you'd enjoy just as much, but not a raclette.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. The supermarkets are, the good big supermarkets are brilliant. They're full of really good alternatives.
Yeah, I need
so
to do that tonight.
Have a little think what you really like.
Yeah. But it should be a fun one. Hopefully I won't be too tired next week.
Oh, you're going to have a great time.
It'll do me good.
Going back to health, mental and physical health. You need to get some outside air. You need to walk every day, just 10 minutes, do some stretching, eat lots of vegetables and fruit. These things are not difficult to do. They're just, you just create habits. It's not like you have to go to the gym for an hour a day.
Mm.
You don't have to do things like that. Just, I mean, sometimes I lie on the floor and do a few sit-ups.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just, oh, I'm going to do some sit-ups. Keep moving. Keep your body moving. Keep eating the protein and the grains and the fruits and the vegetables. They are incredibly good for you and nutritious. And, you know, you're going to be living a long and healthy life if you stick to those very small adjustments.
Mm.
They're not difficult. They're easy. And you feel so much better. I've never felt this good in my life as I do now. And I'm 50. I'm perimenopausal. And I feel brilliant. I mean, I still have my up and down days, but I'm on HRT. But I refuse to let perimenopause or menopause get to me. You know, I'm just going to try and do the HRT and eat the soya. That's very good for, you know, women of my age.
Yeah. Oh, well done, Debs. You're on fire and you're a good breath of fresh air and a good little bundle of energy for us all. You're keeping me going.
Well, that's it from us for this episode, but we'll be back at the same time next week. But in the meantime, you can email us simplyvegan@anthem.co.uk or comment if you're listening on Spotify. We'd love to hear your stories and experiences, so please do drop us a line.